to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today.
There are several things that I hadn't thought of before until Nancy asked me two or three questions. And one threw me completely, which was about how my parents treated me and what impact that may have had on the way I brought up my kids. And that is something I hadn't really thought of. So there was some thought here that I was not anticipating, but I'm glad it happened.
Hey, welcome everybody. We're whispering. I've got Barb Coby on the mic. She's back for a second conversation. But let me introduce you to our today's sponsor. Sally Doyle at Absolute Business Solutions is a trustworthy bookkeeper who loves crunching the numbers for small business owners and entrepreneurs. You can sleep soundly knowing every dollar in your business is 100% accounted for. You're freed up to do the work that you're good at and keep leading. To set up a free consultation, call Sally Doyle, a profit strategist, bookkeeper, and innovative thinker at Absolute Business Solutions. 651-208-8151. And outside of the metro area, make sure you add the one. All right. So today's guest is a very, very accomplished healing artist. She's a visionary designer. You can see it in her book that was released earlier this year, The Healing Doll Way, a guided process creating art dolls for self-discovery, awareness, and transformation. She's also a teacher, facilitator, mentor, and creativity coach. Her work is taking her all over the country and into Canada. She helps others heal through online classes and in-person workshops. Since 1989, Barb's work has focused on the subjects of emotional expression, creative healing, and personal doll making as a healing modality. Aside from the multitude of healing dolls she's created for herself and others, Barb also designed a healing doll curriculum that she teaches at her in-person retreats and workshops. She's taught her online medicine doll curriculum since 2004, working with students from all over the world. She holds a degree in psychology, a bachelor's degree, and certificates in neuro-linguistic programming and creativity coaching. She's contributed articles and has been featured in multiple publications in the personal growth field. She's married, has two grown children, and enjoys spending time in her garden with her two cats. Now, Barb and I were talking off the mic, and if you were listening last week, you heard her wonderful exercise that she had you do with tapping into your loving kindness archetype. We can expand a little bit of our conversation with ways in which you notice how people have been taking care of themselves and love themselves. And now you've been, I'm talking about to the listener that they've been
playing with
how to be kinder to themselves. Mm-hmm. We've added Mike Cabea on the mic.
Hello.
Yes, because men are interested in this topic too of healing. And so we'll be talking about some other, out of our conversation today, we'll come up with intuitively an exercise that we can all focus on for this week.
I already got one.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. Okay, you want to share it now? Or
well,
should we keep them listening?
It'd be interesting to create a doll that represented your business.
Ooh.
Or we don't have to say doll, we could say a figure.
A figure would be both.
Or what's even a power figure.
A power figure
that represents your business.
Okay.
And, you know, how you do that is is probably another conversation, but I like to tell my students that the doll or this figurative image is the only thing, once you create it, is the only thing, way of art, piece of art that you can hold yourself in your own hand.
Mm.
So think about if you were to make an image that represented your business.
Yeah.
And you hold it in your own hand and it looks back at you and you look at it. Mm. And have a conversation with it.
Right.
While it's present.
Yeah.
It's being present to your own business with yourself.
And this is would be very helpful, especially if a person finds themselves in a where they've given their power away. Mm-hmm. Then you can have this wonderful conversation, because if you're looking at something that's in your hand, mm-hmm. you're going to be a little bit more gentle in your approach to it.
Well, or you can listen to that critic's voice.
Yeah.
Right?
And but totally hear it.
But the thing is that when everything that you do around mentoring people in their business is about their business as it goes outside into the world. This is about their business going intrinsically within.
Mm-hmm.
And what parts of themselves do they put into their business that can show up in this image to remind them that these are their gifts or their talents that are that represent who they are.
Yeah.
And then imagine that you take that image and then you put it in your office, or you take it home with you, or put it wherever it feels sacred and special for you to place it. And every time you walk by it, it goes, hey, remember me?
Yeah.
You know, remember who you are?
Yeah.
That's what dolls do for me.
Okay.
That's so powerful, if I may jump in. But
yes.
It's like a logo of your company that can sort of play the same role too.
Right.
You know, when I look at my logo, Kabea Media, it talks to me.
Yeah.
You know, I've learned to have a conversation with my logo. It tells me that I have covered some ground, that I still have to do some stuff, you know, just the logo.
Wow.
And I feel that I'm still so attached to it, I'm not changing it anytime soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I find this extraordinary. I've never really had a chance to talk with someone who's doing that kind of work. It's so inspirational.
Yeah.
It's so inspirational. And so I find a lot of correlation. You know, I'm from Africa. You know, in Africa, they use a lot of statues. It's not necessarily dolls, but you carve a sort of doll in wood.
An icon of some kind.
Icon of some kind. And then you can attach to it certain things,
right.
You know. And it can play a lot of roles. It can be, but particularly talking about Africa, those dolls can be highly magical in a positive or in negative way too. Like, you know, we've heard of certain witchcraft manipulators who
right.
can cast a spell on somebody based on a doll.
Right.
You know, like if they grab something that attached to your body or a piece of your cloth or whatever and pin it to that doll and talk to it
right.
in a certain way, that can totally affect you.
Yeah.
Or the person who's being envisioned in that.
And it brings up, you know, it brings up that V word about, you know, well, are these dolls voodoo?
Voodoo.
The voodoo, yes.
And
yes.
If you do the research, which I've
yes.
done,
yes.
On, is that 99% of voodoo is positive energy?
Yes. Yes.
It's just that the
and oh, the 1% stuck
scary
with
to bring
us.
Up
yeah.
The B word,
yes.
Then have the conversation, but I knew it would come at some point.
Yes.
And to realize that you don't want to put negative energy
yes.
out there
yes.
in any form.
Yes.
In that way.
Huh.
Because it's not a good healing intention.
Absolutely, it's destructive.
It's destructive. And so
and what you focus your attention on expands.
Right.
Yeah. So you don't want to focus your intention on some negativity.
Right.
Yeah.
And the reason that people tend to go to that is because the media has played it up in
yes.
putting it in scary movies in order to create fear, you know.
Yes.
In order to
Halloween movies.
You
yes.
know what bottom line is? It's
yes.
about emotion.
It's about emotion,
we
yes.
We have been taught not to have our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we might take anger.
Yes.
and put it towards something in order to express it. But that gets labeled bad or wrong because we're not supposed to be.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be good, quiet little children. Still, the message is still that message that we are not supposed to have our feelings. All of this Me Too movement where the feelings of women, angry women is coming forward.
And now nuns too.
And nuns too is historically
women
have been labeled wrong.
Yes.
If they showed any kind of power. And positive emotional anger is very powerful and can be very life-changing and healing.
Absolutely.
So in some ways, this is all kind of a manipulation of using this in order to control people. We see this going on in all kinds of different diverse ways in our entire world right now.
Yes. Wow.
And so I'll tell you a little story.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I created these feeling characters I was working for, volunteering the Mental Health Association in Minnesota, and they were created a self-esteem program for 3 to 6-year-olds.
Yeah.
3 to 6-year-old is the time span where children learn about emotion.
Wow.
And so I'm helping them do some art, and one day I'm driving my car, and I hear the word angerilla. And I went, oh, what's that? You know, well, angerilla is this character that talks to children about anger.
Yeah, he's red.
Well, actually, I drew him up and he was brown because he was a gorilla.
Okay.
And he could have been red. And I drew him up and I put him on the refrigerator and I said, we have a new friend in the house. His name's Angerilla. And every time you feel angry, you get to talk to Angerilla.
Wow.
And so they got a sticker and they had to say, I feel angry. This is why and this is what I'm going to do. They had to talk about their feelings.
Yes.
Well, the day came when I had an angry day. And at the end of the day, I said, they're 3 and 6 at the time. And I said, I'm really sorry. I was pretty angry this morning. Will you help me do my angerilla? Will you help me talk to angerilla? And they said, yeah, Mom, let's go talk to angerilla. And so I asked them what I look like. And they said, wow, Mom, you look really bad and you look really angry when you're angry. Well, what do I sound like? Oh, you get really loud. You get really loud. You slam doors and you stomp around. Well, what else can you tell me? Well, you know, we get scared. We get scared when we're angry. And I said, well, what should I do next time I'm angry? And they said, tell us why. And I went, oh my God, this is what we do to our children. They see us angry. And then they'll say, Mommy, are you angry? And we'll go, no, I'm not angry. But they see the anger.
And they internalize it.
And they internalize it. And then they say to themselves, well, it feels like it's angry to me, but you tell it's not, so I must be wrong.
Yes.
And so they learn not to have that anger, and we stuff that away, and then we stuff the scared feelings away. So having children was like God's delightful surprise for me, the gift from heaven, because it informed the rest of my work. So that went on into create, you know, more puppets and more feeling dolls and learning about taking little dolls and stuffing them in my shirt. Teaching.
Yeah.
So I taught a group of children I tested out my feeling dolls and I took them to a group of children whose parents were drug and alcohol addicted. And they said, these are great. But you're missing one. And I said, what is that? And they said, numb.
Numb.
Because when we stuff our feelings, we're numb. And so that whole premise is the huge thread that runs through the work. So instead of being numb about who your identity is as a business person and have all of this emotional intelligence wrapped up into you, who you are as a business person, that you are going to have angry, but how can you feel that and be a business person? How can you feel sad?
Because we bring our feelings to wherever we are in life.
Absolutely.
And so we're done with the years of stuffing.
Yeah.
And we're done with, oh, you can't feel that way because you're at work.
Yeah.
No, I have my feelings. I'm angry right now, and we're going to get through it.
Yeah. And so then, you know, Brené Brown's work about rumbling and feeling the feelings and still being in, being with. We're talking about being with yourself.
Yes.
Filmmaking is about spending time with yourself through art.
Yeah.
Wow. I was going to ask you another question. I don't know if you're familiar with spiritual direction. Just upon hearing you explain.
I have a friend who does that.
Who does that?
So okay. Mike has been going through training to become a spiritual director.
Yeah. I just found a solid correlation with spiritual direction, you know. Spiritual direction would be like, well, okay, you sit in front of your spiritual director. In fact, they don't talk. It's like therapy. You are doing the talking and, in fact, resolving your own issues, but having a witness in front of you, if you will, quote unquote. It's kind of the same thing, right?
Right.
Talking to a doll. I mean, you're talking, in fact, to yourself.
That's right.
It's a way you can take charge of your own healing.
Yes.
It is. And it's working with, we'll use the G word, now God-given creative energy.
Yes.
That we were all born with.
Mm-hmm.
That along with feelings that get stuffed, so does our creative energy get stuffed.
Yes.
Oh, they both go hand in hand.
They go hand in hand.
Oh, wow. And so that's why we've been kind of oppressed with all of our creativity as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's come out in different ways.
Yes.
Sideways.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Wow. Now, here's another one. How long do you have to deal with a specific doll? Like when you create it to resolve a specific issue or if they're related to one of the
archetypes.
Inner trait or archetype for that matter.
So
how long do you keep it? When do you decide to get rid of it if
it,
you need
it
to?
It becomes part of a process. And when people make something, a scary doll or a feeling doll.
Yeah.
They struggle through a process of holding it, or they'll find ways to distract and not work on it, or that's when that creative wound starts showing up. Oh, I can't do that, or I can't. That I look at that face and it's too scary to look at. And there's so many ways to approach working with it. If they stay with the process, with guidance and witnessing, what happens is I can remember helping this one woman create one, and at one point she went, oh, she's really sad. I get it. This isn't about anger at all. This is about me loving myself with the sadness. And there's this shift and a befriending
mm-hmm.
of that original scared image, which is really a feeling. And then it's like, well, first of all, you want to be with it and embrace it, and then love it, and then at some point it'll shift, and either into a different kind of image where you might add some more fabric to it, or add some more image, or give it a different face. Sometimes I'll totally take all the costuming off and all the wrapping and get back to the bare bones, and then see what transforms next from it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And so how long depends on everybody's process.
Yeah. And how much intuition do you, how does your intuition work in the process of making up these dolls?
100%.
What's the correlation here?
It's 100%. First of all, you have to know that you have one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And again, that's another thing, like, trusting that what you know and what you see is really your experience, and then putting that voice to it, which the doll can help you do. There's an author named Clarissa Pinkola Estes, and there's a story called Baba Yaga, which is a story about a little girl who carries a doll in her pocket that talks to her.
Uh-huh.
And her mother gave her the doll. And so whatever the voice told her to do, she does. But it's a voice that is taking care of her. It's a nurturing voice. So there's a practice of learning to trust that intuition.
Yeah.
My experience is it really loves you.
Oh,
it has
really?
Your best intention.
Really?
And it's pretty funny. And just when you think you want to be really miserable, like you made the decision, like I'm really going to have a really bad day.
Yeah.
Something will happen.
Right. That sense of humor.
Yeah. And then I'll go, not funny, God. You know, I had the day planned. It was going to be bad. And then some kind of blessing shows up that there's this awakening.
Yeah. That you shift out of that frame of mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The closest thing my experience in the last year has been a class I've taken where you paint an ugly background, just really ugly and messy, and you start finding figures in it to come out of it. Very playful. Like, look like an eye, you know, and you make that figure become more obvious. And the only person who created it was you. No one told you how to do it. No one taught you how to even see the images. You just start noticing. It's kind of like, you ever had that experience where you look into a tree and the next thing you know, you see a face waving at you?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That I think there's gifts that come from nature, from being in nature, that are spiritual gifts.
Always.
The signs.
Now, what would you recommend to people who would like to have those, to make it themselves or to have someone do it for them?
This kind of work, I would suggest
working with Barb. She's the best there is in the world.
There's a few other teachers like me in the world, but not a whole many, a whole bunch.
I know. And how do you go about knowing exactly what kind of doll you need to craft for someone?
I tend not to make dolls for other people. I would rather teach you how to make your own.
Okay. That was my question, in fact.
Yeah. And she sells the dolls. But they're really, all of them are inspired. The over 300 dolls have been inspired. Do you think it's through the expression of your archetypes?
I think it is archetypal. I think that there's universal archetypes that, because when I had my first show, I would put a doll up and I'd give her a name. And then somebody would come up and they'd start crying and they would want to know the story. And they'd go, oh, I know that feeling.
Yeah. And in your book, you have this, you have six archetypes, and there's a star with six points.
Yeah.
And each point of the star is an archetype.
Right.
So you've got intention / guide, set a healing intention to keep you focused and to guide the process.
Right.
Inner healer, your healing wisdom keeper,
It goes the other way. The inner healer, that's interesting because the inner healer is really...
I started there.
Well, the real whole process is about discovering your inner healer.
Right.
But if you start with the inner healer, you won't recognize it.
Oh.
So the whole process is learning about that you have this inner healing ability.
Interesting.
But you have to work through the blocks in order to even know that.
Well, yeah, because you could never... And do people go through your book by themselves and make their own dolls?
Some people are doing that now, since the book.
Without taking your class?
Right.
And are they connecting with you?
Yes.
Okay. Because they're getting stuck along the way or
no,
just...
No, they're making the dolls. I mean, I haven't... It's only been out since August.
Yeah.
And it's out internationally and...
I thought it was out this year.
No.
2019.
August 2018.
Was it? Oh my gosh.
I've sold half the books already.
Okay, so I went through some of the editing. Was that was in July then? Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay.
So they start with the intention.
Yep.
Then they create a guardian.
Okay. And the guardian is the defender, the protector,
right?
The keeper. And the purpose of the guardian is to protect, motivate, encourage, and support.
Right. And so through the rest of the process, you always keep your guardian doll nearby.
Ah, so they're guarding you through this process. Interesting. And then the scapegoat. So you're going into the dark or shadow doll. The purpose is it symbolizes the pain mm-hmm. in so that you embrace the struggle. Mm-hmm. And then loving kindness, accepting, allowing, and self-compassion. So the purpose is to intentionally bring the energy of loss and compassion. No, not loss, of love.
Yeah.
We want the love around us mm-hmm. with loving kindness and compassion into the healing process. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Which is what our listeners were doing last week, trying to bring in the loving kindness mm-hmm. into their lives and honoring themselves. And then the talisman is stepping into the light. So the purpose is to transform the pain, to move toward positive outcome. And then we go to the inner healer. Mm-hmm. Okay, you've got a big smile on your face and a big nod. Like, yeah, it's a beautiful thing. You're healing wisdom keeper. So the purpose of the inner healer is naming your healing and wisdom ways.
Ooh.
Yeah. Tell
us
more.
Because this wisdom ways is your way of healing.
Mm-hmm.
Your creativity is your way of being creative.
So it's not you trying to conform other people into a certain way that they express themselves. You're helping them have the big picture in mind.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it goes even down to learning styles. You know, that your way may be that you have to talk about it before you create the doll or do some doodling before you create the doll. What's your way?
Right. Mm.
And then people are looking for a pattern. And I say, I don't give you patterns.
Right.
Because I want you to be the seeker of finding what is it that you're drawn to.
And you have such a wide variety mm-hmm. of dolls in here and also like Debbie's healing doll journey, you know, so you are taking people through other people's journey
right.
to give them a picture of how someone else has done this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the middle of the star is the spirit.
Right.
You explore your definition of a spirit doll.
Right.
Yeah.
So that wasn't going to be in the book. A spirit doll wasn't going to be in the book. It was going to end with the inner healer. Then I looked around on the internet, and I saw all these people making something called spirit dolls, and I went, no one's defining it. So what if I created a chapter where I invited us all to move through the chapter and figure out the definition of a spirit doll for them?
Mm.
So there's people that who've made dolls who talk about it, who are experts in different kinds of fields.
Mm-hmm.
But the invitation is to come up with your own idea of what a spirit doll is for you as you understand spirit.
I see.
And one of the archetypes is talking about the shadow and pain. Is this something having to do with the long night of the soul?
Yes.
Can you elaborate on that?
Yes. Part of my process in all of this was going into therapy at one point. And I was in midlife, and the therapist listened to me, and she said, well, I call this coming home to yourself. And so that's intrigued me. And so I looked up coming home to yourself, and I found this woman's article written about women in midlife, and she called it coming home to yourself, and she related it to three parts. You know, the beginning and the middle and the end. And I started looking for some kind of structure. This is how I work. I find something and then I'm curious about it and then I have to understand it. And I found the hero's journey. So I found Joseph Campbell's work and the hero's journey. And then I just dove into that, trying to understand because it's the beginning and the middle of an end of a story. But it's a journey. And every journey in the hero's journey, and I now understand in the heroine's journey, you jump in. You're initiated into the journey for whatever reason.
Yeah, you're not always happy about it.
No.
Yeah.
Usually some kind of pain, or like Alice in Wonderland, you fall into a hole.
Or like the Wallners series that we've had just 8 episodes. And Al and Rosie were raising 3 children. And their middle daughter, son at the time, was entering his senior year. And he came out to his family and said, I'm transgender. Mm-hmm. And so we've been covering their journey. Yeah. Because it changed their individual roles within the family. Mm-hmm. It changed the parents' role. And like Alan talking about how this was his sole male child. You know, he was passing on, you know, the Wallner name. And they would do dirt biking together and all these different things. You know, they've had to reshape and take a look at it. And through the conversations, Alexandria now, who's female, or that's who she is, really it was and is, and she claimed it. But her experience with, you know, talking with her dad, you know, we can still do dirt biking just because it doesn't fit in. It's a, you know, it's supposed to be a guy thing, but there's girl dirt bikers. And, you know, so it's there, or shoveling the driveway. You know, he would not then do it himself. And Alexandria's like, you know, I'd like to do that with you. So there's so many parts of, so I've been, you know, using the hero and heroine's journey as a way. So with the Wallners, and I've been doing a number of different series because we end up being initiated into the heroine and hero's journey without choice. And as a business owner, it's so important to know that that not only happens to us, but it's happening to the people that we're working with.
Yeah.
And what do we do when they're in that process? I was just speaking at a Mitchell Hamlin law school, and they've got a series on working collaboratively. And Matthew and I have teamed up. So I did one individual class on empathic listening. Mm-hmm. And then we did another class together because he's an attorney. And so it kind of fit with his background to be talking about it. But anyways, one of the things with one of the students was that they were going through a very devastating experience. And what do you do when you have a student in your class going through this process? Because it's you can't consume all, you know, you can't just run your life as usual. Or like with the Wallner's case, they've got a family business. You know, how are they supposed to continue with their branding company and copywriting? And, you know, how did they do that while they were going through this other big transformation process? And we need to recognize when people are on the journey so that we can honor where they're at and not, you know, try to say, well, you should go off and do your therapy over here and then come back to work. But we need to incorporate who we are into the process. Like, you can actually do your work, but you have to do it differently, your way.
Well, and the other thing is that to see that it is a journey in both the difference between the woman who wrote The Heroine's Journey is Maureen Murdoch. And she used to argue with Joseph Campbell and say that a woman's journey isn't the same as a man's.
Oh.
So the man's journey is outward, usually goes out into the world and does battle and then comes home with the gift for the maiden or the, right, whatever they've learned. And the woman's journey is internal. But the difference is, and I'm starting to think it's not even about gender anymore. We've been raised in a patriarchal society, and you cannot even go on the journey until you awaken to the fact that you've been taught to think, feel, and act certain ways according to that society. And when you let go of that or are conscious of that, then you go into this internal process of getting to know who you really are.
Yeah.
And what is all that meaning? And what is my story? Both of them are missing the loving kindness center. Both are missing the retreat center. Like, you're going through this tough time in your life. You keep trying to go at it normal pace like nothing's wrong. But there's a need for retreat.
Right. And restructuring. Yeah.
And so that's in the center of the circle, the center of the path.
And that's what we need to be creating space for.
Right. And it's the spiritual center of the journey.
Right. That makes so much sense because you're who you are, your perception of yourself is shifting.
Yeah.
Which is spiritual.
Right. But you're not going to find it in the unknown.
Right.
You might find some allies. But to finally say, it's like somebody said to me on Saturday, Barb, this book has taken you out into the world and has a life of its own. You've been pushing for 20 years to give birth to it. Aren't you a little tired? And I am. I'm tired. I haven't been going into this retreat center. I see. And it's harder in the winter. In the summer, I can go into my garden.
I see, yeah.
But this consciousness piece of how, you know, how have I been raised, what have I been taught to believe about being with myself?
Yeah.
With my emotions, we aren't. It's brand new. It's magic. It's secret. And we hear about it mostly in spiritual direction and spiritual.
Yeah, and yeah, it's good. Well, I hear about it too in yoga and I connect with my spirit during meditation.
Yeah,
And that's more common now that people are experiencing meditation, and so. And the neuroscience supports kind of going into that sacred space that you can find that's actually in between your brains.
Yeah.
You know, there's like a little hub.
There's even new art to work with that too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So I think we're in a really cool exploratory time as a society, even though it's so awful and unpredictable and all these stories are just flying out. You know, there's this huge reckoning going on all around the world. And everything that's awful and ugly about our society and what we've been doing to it all these years is now in our faces. And we can't go very far without taking a look at it. And I think as a society or global world, we're kind of rumbling with all those different feelings that we've had about all this stuff being under, you know, hidden for so long, and the uncertainty of the direction that we're going is causing us to really develop more skills and tools.
Yeah.
And
I just watched I taped this young priest, a Jesuit priest. Her name is Matthew Wright, very young person. And he's describing what he calls the second actual.
The second actual?
Yeah,
oh.
Second actual. It actually means that everything tends to become one. You know, like you were talking about evolving in a, you know, patriarchal society. But the problem is that they were putting too much distinction between men and women, you know, good and bad and all of that. But we are realizing now with science and mysticism and all of that, that in fact, we are all being trapped in a continuum. There's no more way to separate things per se. Everything is becoming at unison. You know, it's like what you're talking about, you know, all these problems that we have over the face, they will come up even more. We'll probably experience more trouble, you know, and we kind of need to experience that because we are on a journey as a whole, as humanity. We are on a journey. We are in this journey realizing, in fact, that there's no separation between us.
We're all connected.
We're all connected. You know, science has already proven that.
Yeah.
More and more everything, the social media are proving us now that distance is becoming kind of an illusion.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So everything is getting back to one. And so, according to Matthew, the second actual is we no longer have to think that God or the universe or the supreme being is up there somewhere and we have sort of have to climb a ladder to ascend
to him.
No, God is already here. In the here and now, we are in fact materialization of the God himself. And when they talk about the incarnation of Jesus, it's just symbolic. But God, we are the incarnation of God.
Yeah.
You know.
So we all have the God light within us.
Yes. Yeah. So everything is becoming one. And if you refuse to cope with that, then you are in more trouble until you understand that and cope with it.
Yeah.
I think that looking at young children, like I look at my grandchildren, they're being homeschooled, and so they're not being affected by the culture of a traditional education. And they have this large whiteboard in the kitchen, and they just wake up in the morning and they go draw. To be connected to themselves daily, to be in this place of play.
Where you don't have to fight to capture that back.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not taken away from you.
It's kind of, I think that's kind of what it's like working with someone that's really so stuck in their story. Like I had this huge trauma happen to me and I have to hold on to it. And I'm going, no, you know, it's okay, let go. Let it see the light. Let it show you what it has to give you, what it can tell you.
Yeah, you know, let it be free.
Let it be free. Yeah. And I just watched the movie Finding Mr. Banks. Have you seen this movie? It's about Walt Disney's relationship with the woman who wrote.
Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins. Mm-hmm. And there's a section where he talks to her about she can let go of the story of her father.
Yeah, right. That was the beautiful part of the story.
I know,
story.
I want to watch it just so I can write it down.
Yeah, yeah.
But we do. I see that in my students. Mm-hmm. I can't make a doll because I have this or I had this happen to me.
Oh, well, this has been a beautiful, beautiful conversation. I'm glad, Mike, you were able to come on the mic because it also acknowledges that this isn't a journey just for, you know, certain people or certain genders.
Oh, no.
This is for us all.
Yeah. We are the same, like I was saying. I have learned, you know, after listening a lot to discover that I have tons of femininity in me, too. And I think that's a big plus, you know. It just makes you a little more complete. And if you deny that, well, you're in trouble. You don't understand.
You're carving off then a sense of yourself.
Yes.
You're not allowing it to flourish.
Yeah.
There's a book called The Circle of Stones. Have you heard of this?
Mm-mm.
It's a chapter about a woman growing up, but it could be for anyone. So each chapter starts with, imagine if you were a child growing up and that you had questions about your emotions and that there was a circle of women who came to you and invited you and welcomed you into their circle and taught you about the feeling threads that run through your body and soul. And then it would move. The next chapter was imagine if there was a circle of women. But think how it could be. Imagine if there was a circle of men who came and embraced your emotion. Embraced, that's good.
Yes.
embraced your heart.
Yeah.
Oh. And so if we were to do that for, you know, humanity.
Yeah, the whole key is to understand that dualism doesn't help much. It doesn't help much.
No.
It's keeping us in the dark.
Yeah.
We need to opt out of that.
Yeah, we need to retire.
Perception of the reality.
Dualism.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, wonderful conversation. So we're going to make a power figure that's the size of our palm.
Well, here's an invitation.
Oh.
So I have an ebook.
Yeah.
That all people have to do is email me, and I'll send it to you. And it's called Inner Selfie. And people can create paper dolls or paper images. And they create
inner selfie.
A nurturing parent, a nurturing creative parent. They create an inner selfie paper doll with their own face as their inner creative child. And then they create a paper doll that represents the inner critic. And then
they have three dolls.
They make three paper dolls.
Mm-hmm.
And then I talk about how to understand the language of what's nurturing creative language sound like? What's it look like? Mm. And then how to recognize when you're in the inner critic territory, So it informs. But to make an image with your face on it, a lot of people would be afraid to do that.
Yeah.
But the patterns are there, so they can...
Oh.
They just have to supply the face. But you put your own face on the parent and the child.
Interesting. Huh. Yeah.
You came up with it. Did you coin this term, inner selfie?
I thought I did, but I've seen it other places.
Oh, it's kind of original, authentic.
Yeah, right. I like that, the inner selfie.
Yeah. That's so cool, right? Inner selfie.
Yeah, I want to take a picture of myself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wow.
The inner selfie.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah. So they just have to email me and I'll send it to you.
Okay. Terrific. And what's your email address?
barbcoby@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, this has been a delight. Another fun playtime.
I know. I love stimulating conversations.
And thank you for sharing your wisdom with us and all of our listeners. Thanks, listeners, for tuning in. I had asked a professional podcaster who does a lot of podcasting nationally for feedback on my podcast. And he was saying, you know, you're really broad in your audience. And then he listened to one of the episodes and said, now, how would a CEO relate to this? And I'm like, well, you know, this is the thing about me in this podcast and Mike Cabea and I in this podcast is we have a broad perspective of humanity. Mm-hmm. And we have been stuck in these roles of how business, what it should look like and who, in what role, you know, if I'm a CEO, what I should look like and how I should act. And I just want to break down all that. And it doesn't matter what your roles are in life. This is about, I'm talking about leadership, how you're leading. How are you being human and leading in the world? Mm-hmm. And if you're doing it as a CEO, then you carve out the definition. But I'm not going to tell you how to be a CEO or cover topics that are in a little wrapped package, you know, that are telling you, you know, that if you're a CEO, these are the topics that you're interested in. And I'm only going to present those topics. I'm saying hell to the no, that ain't happening here. We'll see everybody next week.